change things. Right. Hello on this cold January morning here in the UK and in Sweden today. You're listening to Wear the Dress or whatever alternative you like, formerly Tits Up to Breast Cancer. My name is Leah, and I've got a very special guest with me today. It's my good friend of 10 years and my Enneagram colleague, Cece Lickhoff Bateman. Cece, after 10 years, am I saying that correctly?
Sort of
Can you
as
say your name?
Lykov Beckman.
Lickhoff Bateman.
Yeah.
10 years. So, what friend am I that I don't really say that? So, today, Cece is going to briefly talk with me about, well, her book. She's written one of her many books on the instincts, which she will tell you about what they are in a minute, and give you a brief overview of how these instincts work. I'm going to leave it to Cece to introduce herself properly because she knows herself better than I know her. So, Cece, can you briefly introduce who you are, what you do, and your instinct book in particular?
Okay, yeah. Again, I'm Cece, and I am I'm what I'm here for is probably I could say that I'm doing inner growth work, and I've been facilitating inner growth experiential courses for I don't know, coming up on 25 almost years this year actually, I think. And in the course of that, I fell into looking at the Enneagram, which we'll mention very briefly, I think. And in the course of that, these instincts that we lovingly call them, they're probably we should call them biological drives or instinctual drives, is would be the sort of more correct way of referring to them, but that's too long and boring, so I seldom do that. And so yeah, I did write a book that talks about these drives as features of our what we would call a belly center, that is the like tummy intelligence or the instinctual intelligence, if we're talking about like triune brain, that kind of thing. So we have the gut, the heart, and the head, and the instincts or the instinctual drives would be comprising that which goes on in the gut, basically. So these things, all these three centers, including specifically the three basic instinctual drives, are what this book is about, and it's called Aspects of You.
And I know that within aspects of you, there are exercises people can try to, so it's not just theory, but there's exercises people can try to get in touch with how the instincts work within that belly center.
Yeah.
We'll at the end of this recording, we will, we'll say where they can get your book and what have you. So Cece, that's great. So can you give us a overview of the three instincts, because we're just talking about three certain instincts, aren't we? And how they work, so what they're called
Yeah,
and
sure.
how they work within us.
Yeah, we could start by saying that the thing that the fact that these instincts are a gut thing, as we would say, it's so like a natural, or that's sort of the animal part of us. That's something we can just say, and we say, yeah, that check. But it's important to realize what that means, because that means that they are sort of hard-coded biologically into our physical being. So it's like we learn stuff in life, and we learn stuff as kids, and we figure out how to do life. But that's me as a person. This instinctual part of me is not me as a person. That's me as evolution. So it's like started millions of years ago with amoebas or whatnot, and they that the instincts, or one at a time, started developing in organisms to be functions that would be automatic, because we can say we like to think as humans that we're so evolved and so sort of high up on the food chain, basically, and the brain chain, so that we can make decisions out of like just cognitive calculation, basically. And that's not really the case. We like to think we do, but quite often we make decisions out of emotional reasons, which you probably all have experience with. And even more than that, frequently we make the body makes a decision, our autonomic nervous system makes a decision, and this is instinctual. So this is nothing to do with cognition or the story we put with that later. But we tend to do that, so because we were trained since we were children. They asked us, why don't you want to go? And maybe we were 3 years old, we had no idea why. We just said, I
Don't
don't like
just
you.
no, mommy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like this person. Don't hug me, that kind of thing. And they were like, why don't you like Uncle Alan? It's like, ew, because we had to invent, we learned that we have to invent a mental explanation for something. So we
Oh,
that's
we have to come
kind of
up
where
with
I'm.
reasons all the time for things when actually we, you hear people, don't you, say like, oh, I don't know, I just felt it in my gut. So even people who are not experienced with, the work that you and I do and your stuff around the instincts, they will still understand the saying, I feel it in my gut,
They
whether that's a
will.
positive or a negative. And that's quite, I think most people can identify with that on some level
Yeah,
in some
definitely.
situations.
Exactly. On some level, in some situations, but in our society, in our culture, this is like a luxurious or a self-indulgent way of making decisions. It's like, I feel it in my gut. No, you can't do that. This is a financial decision or a work decision. You have to give, rational reasons, and we're
On
sort
your
of
logic,
trained to do that. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so it's important to realize that when we're talking about the instinctual drives, we're talking about things within us that we don't actually have any control over. We have control over what we do, but we don't have control. It's like if you pull out a drawer and there is something really yucky in there. Somebody left a boiled egg 8 months ago. And you probably feel that when you walked into the room. But if something is just really disgusting, you will gag. And it's not like you can decide not to gag, because once it reaches the brain or sort of the neocortex, and you try and make a cognitive decision, you gagged already because you had the reaction. So we can choose to not, throw tomatoes at somebody who we don't like, but we cannot choose not to like them.
Yeah,
We can
exactly.
work
You
on
can't.
not liking them, but that's a workaround. That's not the thing that happens instinctually would have happened already. So that's the first thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And you hear some people say things like, I say the mother says, well, that's not the right girl for you, but I can't help who I'm in love with. I can't
Yeah,
help
exactly.
that I fancy her, or it just, do you know what I mean? And I was just sort of thinking, you're saying about we can see the boiled egg and we can't help but gag, or someone might actually be sick, and that can't be helped. Now, it's different, isn't it, from saying throwing the tomato and we're saying we can't help these things. We can help not punching someone in the face.
Yeah, and we can usually also help not actually throwing up, because we can leave the room. I mean,
We can leave
we
the room
can
and stop the smell. We can,
measure and sort of choose how to act mostly. I mean, if you're on the pavement and something is actually falling, somebody is like pushing a refrigerator out of the room or whatever, then you'll
You're
leave.
instinctual to
Yeah,
move, isn't it?
exactly. And you will not think, oops, there's a little old lady there. Maybe I knock her over. That wouldn't be good. That's not what's going through your head. What's going through your head is, ouch,
Out of the
I want to
way.
nap.
We could
It's like,
become very
it's
sort
not.
of self-focused, but in a survival positive way. Not, I'm not talking about selfishness. I'm talking about we become very preserving.
Yeah. And that's, the basicest of the basics. Like, it's the self-preservation thing. It's like the first instinct. When evolution, started, life started happening, however that came about. Life that just randomly lived would not be very efficient, and it would die quite quickly, because as we know, living requires that you have nutrients, and it requires that you get oxygen depending on what kind of an organism you are, but you need certain things to live. So they're needed. Nature, if we sort of we humanize nature and say nature is like a person, obviously nature is not a person, but it's that if nature thought, well, I need to put something in these little amoebas or whatever single cell organisms to make sure they go towards the light and not away from the light, like a medium go to the light, but it's like they need to spontaneously do that. They needed to gravitate to areas where there was food, and they needed to stay away from predators, other, the bad guys, the bad single cell organism.
The best,
So there needed to be stuff, and there was no brain, there was no cognitive neocortex decision making center that could say, "Ooh, he looks scary, let's move the other way." So this had to be automatic, and
Automatic,
that's where the instincts
And you
came.
said that was the first instinct, the self-preservation instinct to come online. So can you tell us a little bit about the self-preservation, or what we call it, shorthand, self-pres, what that entails, without going in, because we're going to do another episode where we go into different zones and deeper into this, but just so people briefly know this first instinct, and it might not be their dominant instinct, and that's, something we'll get to, but what self-preservation or self-pres in terms of the instinct means?
If we look at the one thing to remember about the instincts as well, when we look at them as like therapeutic material or whatever stuff we look at for inner growth, one thing to remember is that easy we as humans, we experience these, we experience emotions, we experience thoughts, we have all kinds of, soups going on within ourselves, which makes it sometimes hard to, we can learn about these in chunks and with like very clear distinctions. It's not as easy to watch them inside as clearly distinguished because they
Goes,
exist on top of one another at the same time. But I don't know where we're going with that. The thing
go wherever it leads. It's okay.
what needed to happen was this: the organisms needed to be kept alive. And so, yeah, what I was going to say was that if we see something and we think, oh, this is my self-preservation instinct, then we can look, does this have a corresponding behavior, a corresponding dynamic in nature?
In nature,
And in wilderness nature, I'm talking about not dogs or cats or whatever, cats probably, but not, because dogs are gregarious species. They have been around humans for like whatever 30,000 years or something. And they learned as well to suppress some of their instincts sometimes because they need to
Well, they
be
are,
with friends. So they can, cats not so much. We can, that's interesting.
Cats are a
They're
bit more
not,
like independent, aren't they?
yeah, they're, yeah, and they're not, they, th there is no need for them to sort of cater to someone else's wishes at the same, to the same extent as well.
With dogs, there's lots
Because,
of like the social coming online, isn't there? Almost, it's like,
well, they look social. That's not, anyway,
is it not?
let's stay with the self-preservation. But anyway, so we can check if.
So self-preservation, we're talking about things very much to do, well, it's all in the body, these, all the instincts, but very much to do with things that we see as doing to our body, feeding, go
Yeah,
find food for ourselves. Temperature, are we hot? Are we cold? Is that right? Is that how you would
yeah,
how
that's
would you
absolutely one aspect of it. It's the, we could say it in a sort of scientific-ish term, to keep the homeostasis of the body,
the
which is like the
homeostasis,
balance. We need to have this, again, this temperature. We have in advanced organisms like ourselves and most animals, I mean, the blood needs to have a certain pH value because if it doesn't, you die. So
That's
sometimes the skeleton needs to gash out calcium into the blood so it doesn't get too acidic. And so that kind of thing is part of this. And this is, we don't have to monitor these things. We don't even notice them going on. We notice them if we
Absolutely,
call phones. So that's something that happens. But also, as you say, looking for food, hunting and gathering, if we go back to like the Stone Ages or whatever, Stone Age. And also it's in the moment, but also over time. It's like a squirrel acquiring nuts, not to just to eat now, but also to have throughout the winter.
Dashing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
nuts
my pet rats
also.
are brilliant at dashing. I'll think, oh, they've got no food. But then I'll tidy the cage and there's like mountains of like rat biscuits. And
Yeah,
I'm
but
like,
what happens
what
if you run
are you
out?
making me feel sorry for you? But you've got enough food for a month there.
And some animals do that. So for some animals, the stashing is part of their self-preservation instinct. For horses, not so much.
Not so much,
They
right?
don't keep eating. So it's like it's we have different, but it's there in nature. They stash nuts, maybe the squirrels, we stash cash a lot of the
Cash, I
time.
was going to say something with
And
money saving
food,
and yeah.
yeah. So since we're humans, some of these things are not going to be, we don't only gather food, we gather money, or we gather that kind of things, but it's still a matter of it like if we go overboard with it, it's like hoarding. But even before that, it's like saving up for a rainy day. That's part of the
That's
self-preservation
put
instinct.
right, and many people understand that saying, won't they? Oh, I've just got a little pot saved for a rainy day.
Yeah.
So that's when when disaster strikes, or it's a bit like an emergency fund, isn't it? And
Yeah.
what I do know is we all can do these things. Do you know what I mean? I have an emergency fund because I think about all the rat vets, and but I'm not self-preservation as my top instincts. But so we all have them,
Yeah,
but.
we have them, and also we're not stupid.
We're
You
not
don't
stupid.
get to
Yeah,
be
we
40,
know we need
50
to
years
eat.
old.
We know we need money. We
Yeah.
know things can maybe go wrong, not just
Yes.
certain types, that worst case scenario, but we all know
And
that
sometimes we
the
can,
house might need repairing or.
if you're in midlife, you can, and you're looking at these drives in yourself, you can look at your 20s. And if you
Oh,
say,
yeah.
oh, I do my insurances and I take care of my house and I do, this is my house, my home, my food, my sleep, all those kind of things that sort of sustain me. That's in the self-preservation instinct. And maybe we can see that I do all these things. And I had a heart attack. I didn't, but if you did, you learned that you have to watch your nutrient intake or whatever, and you start doing that, doesn't mean you suddenly get self-preservation dominant. It just means you're not stupid and you want to
You're
live.
not stupid, and your body is telling you,
So when we're looking
yeah,
at
and you.
these, when we're looking at them from a sort of therapeutic or in a growth perspective, what we want to look at is what comes naturally and almost
What
possibly compulsively to me.
compulsively? Yeah, so I was
That
thinking some people quite young are very focused on the savings part.
Yeah.
Other insurances, separate from, say, business insurances that we have to practice or whatever, but like it very. Somebody in their 20s can be very organized and very focused and very worried about it. That's what I noticed. Like, right, there's a compulsion, but also an anxiety around
Yeah. I would say
that first instinct.
when we're looking at where we can sort of benefit from working in these areas, it's what we want to look at is, which one do I overdo at the cost of one of the others? Because where do I drive off into the ditch with one of them and totally forget about another one? Because that's what usually happens. So if we go on, we can see that in evolution, we had these amoebas floating around and
I love that.
paddling away towards the light and the food and away from the predators or whatever. And then nature, I mean, they could still develop, because evolution was already happening because of random mutations. So because they single cells, they just divided. Now we have two amoebas, and that's how it went. So if nature wanted to change anything genetically, it had to introduce a random mutation. And some of these random mutations went straight into the toilet, and some of them succeeded, and then that's how things went along. This is quite inefficient and quite slow. It's like millennia of the say before these random mutations would show up. So what happened was another thing got introduced, which was like combining two gene banks to a completely new set of genes, which
This
would
is good. The uni's going to love this. If this is just
into
because, like, the whole genes thing, you're putting it in such a great layman's, almost like a term that if you're doing the back seat for the uni or the hospital. I think the way you're sort of explaining this is great, where your amoebas and going to the light, and I'm just loving the way you're explaining it and the genes. So you have these two things you said
Yeah,
coming together. So what happens then?
the thing is, the what this would be if we simplify it somewhat, because there are single cell organisms that multiply sexually, and there are multi-cell organisms multiply in other ways. So, but technically, or on the overall, it's like single cell divide, no sexuality in place, and then when you start combining gene banks, we introduce attraction and competition and risk, and you have to sort of put yourself out there. And then if in nature's little boardroom, if they went to the little group of self-preservation people saying,
Yes.
hey, why don't we introduce, sexual procreation, and the organisms have to go out and search for somebody else and put themselves at danger and risk being eaten and perhaps not get food for several days because they're just going to have to find a mate instead, and that takes priority. The self-preservation department would say, no, thank you very much. This is very dangerous. So nature needed another way. It needed to be equally compulsory to go
Ah.
out and mate as it would be to eat. Because if you still would, if you would prioritize the safety and the fullness of your tummy and everything, the homeostasis being
Warm,
kept.
I'm comfortable, I'm
Yeah.
safe, I've eaten, yeah.
There is an expression in Swedish that when you think nothing much is happening, you say, this doesn't get any children born. And this is like
Right.
already created. And this is like the same, literally, there would be no children born. So we need to introduce another instinct, which will set the self-preservation instinct aside for a bit. And if we
Right.
watch like much, much, much later organisms like lions, you can see that when they go, almost any mammal, when they go on the prowl for a mate, they can go for days without eating,
Oh, without
really
eating, yeah.
lonely, because they don't have, it's just, I need to, mate.
I need
Uh,
to
so
mate, yeah.
that will take priority. And so that's what the sexual instinct, the most basic purpose of the sexual instinct was to say, to put a parenthesis around,
Let's not focus so much on how warm we are or how
yeah,
many meals we've
exactly.
had today, because I need to go get him.
Yeah, because if you don't, this will die with you anyway. So now sort of survival becomes not about my physical being, but about my species.
My
But
species that, sort of what
now,
goes forward from this.
animal species that mate, and once they've mated, the male dies, and when the female has lays her eggs or has her kids, she dies too. I mean, not if she has kids, probably. I don't think there's any mammal like this, but
I know
like
what you mean.
in the world of spiders or octopus,
Yeah. Well, sometimes
breeds or
they
whatever.
eat the mate, isn't there?
Yeah, but so because
That's quite efficient. Oh, yeah.
The female, which is usually the one staying around for a bit longer, but she in if say if it's an octopus, they will live until they have their eggs have hatched. And I think the eggs actually feed off the mother for a bit or something, but she basically dies.
Wow.
So when you have kids, you die. So that's your literal life purpose.
Right.
Point
And
something
so
about
this
that.
is what we call the sexual instinct is used there.
Yeah,
And the
and if
second one
you.
to come online, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at this in Enneagram circles, if anybody's familiar with the Enneagram, if you're not, doesn't matter. But if you do, you're going to hear the sexual instinct referred to as like the one-on-one instinct, which is a quite heavy misunderstanding. It's not about a one-on-one versus
Yeah,
group.
I think everyone or most people can want a one-on-one with someone and not be
So
sexually dominant. Yeah.
there is this quite widespread idea, which was sort of ignited by a very prominent man in the Enneagram context. The sexual instinct was about partnership and about like a relationship. And this is not
Right.
the case. This is, there are plenty of animal species who have plenty of sexual instinct and they're not interested in partnership whatsoever. They
Absolutely, yeah.
meet and
Plenty
they
of
part
human
ways.
beings who you can actually be asexual in terms of sexual orientation and be sexual dominant. And
Yeah,
do
it
you know what
doesn't
I mean?
have
It's
to. Yeah.
you don't have to have or want children.
Yeah. So if we look at what it does mean, even in the animal kingdom, it doesn't just mean humping, sort of. It means to go out and prioritize something else higher than your own safety right now as a sort of compulsion. So
Compulsion,
in
right? Yeah. Would it right to say
and
like a compulsion
compulsion
that
is
takes something forward, like
yeah
a you know, I don't want to say legacy because that can come into other stuff,
yeah
but something that
yeah
is sort of generative, something that is generating something that you produce, create,
yeah it's a lot
survival
of
of the
creativity
fittest,
in there.
the what you know, what's the best thing we can leave, we can. That's what does
And
it
it's not
was
even
that
leave.
right?
The
No,
thing
it's
is,
not about leaving some sort of mark
the
of
thing
ourselves
is,
or
it does. It's an effect of the sexual instinct, but it's not the sexual instincts. It doesn't really care. It cares
it
about,
doesn't get.
it's like this. If we look at the self-preservation instinct, it's clear that this has to do with me. It's focused on me, my being, how am I
My
doing?
body, my
It's a
body
very
boundary, yeah.
inward, it's a very inward focus. The sexual instinct still focused on me. And this is where a lot of people have a misunderstanding because they think it's focused on you, but it's not. It's just it, to the extent or the extent to which the sexual instinct focuses on you, it just is about the me focusing on you as an extension of me. How big can I get if I'm in the sandbox as a 2-year-old? How many cars can I have? And I have this as a sort of extension of my ego. And in the more animal or older human beings world, it's going to be about how can I expand?
How can I expand? That's a great way of putting it. How can I expand
I don't mean that
myself?
in a sort of grandiose expand my consciousness or anything like that, but just how can I expand the me? And
The me, yeah.
I can, and if I
Completely
have
get that,
a
yeah.
child, if I give birth to a child or, aid in creating one, if I'm a male, then this is expansion of me, literally. It's
It
my
is, yeah.
going on. And we can do this in, as you said, in creativity. We can expand our me into works of art or, into just that kind of, but it's sort of more important to me when this instinct is active. It's more important to me, this expansion is more important to me than keeping
Right,
safe.
yeah. And you said there's a lot of attraction and competition in it. And we say attraction, we don't necessarily, because I know I've got a lot of certain aspects of of the sexual instinct in me, and I know I can feel myself wanting to attract, and actually something rising up in me to do that. But I'm not actually wanting to go and date him or her or sleep with him. It's just this compulsion to attract or compete with this other person, and it's almost unconscious. But
Yeah,
you know,
what
I
is
catch
this?
it in the moment. But it's not about actually, pulling him or whatever the put
No,
it is in it.
it doesn't even have to have a sexual output. It's
Exactly. It's not, it doesn't have to include the sort of sexual genital area at all, whatever it is.
was very interesting. I was with in one of the Enneagram courses actually in with Don and Russ. I was in a group with a person whom I was quite sure that he was gay, and I just had to ask him on the last day because he was also very clearly sexual, and there was this spark and this thing, and I just had to
That's the
ask him, "You're
spark,
gay,
that's
aren't you?"
it,
And
yeah.
he was like, "Yeah, yes, I'm gay, 100% gay." And I was like, "Yeah, cool. I just wanted to check
I
because it
just went
works.
to say,
It
yeah.
doesn't matter. You can be attracted to another person, of the." Whichever sex you're not usually attracted to. And it's not that kind of tree. You don't want to jump into bed with them and
Exactly,
make out with them. It's
yeah.
just, there is just this magnetism going on,
That's the,
which
yeah,
is
the
very much a
magnetism.
part of this. And it doesn't have to do necessarily with me wanting to attract people all the time. But I'm also, if this is strong for me, I'm going to be aware of what I'm attracted to.
Yeah,
It's going to be
yeah.
easy for me to make choices
So, like
because I
attraction,
know,
compulsion.
It's very easy to see this attracts me, and it's not actually repulsion on the other end of the scales. It just doesn't register. It's just
Doesn't
not
that's not yeah
interesting.
because it's not on your
Okay.
radar
No,
even.
exactly.
But
So repulsion
so
isn't
so
repulsion is with the self-preservation instinct that we saw in
as well,
the old egg in
the
the drawer.
smelly
Yeah.
egg. So for the sake of time, can we just jump to the social instinct now? Because you are going to come back and go into more depth, aren't you, with these in a later episode. So moving on to the next instinct, and I've just given it away, saying social instinct. Or you have a different name for it, don't you, in your book?
Yeah,
Would
I
you like to
called
say
it
something?
adaptation or social adaptation. And it was funny because a woman told me that, they're all about adaptation. And I was like, yeah, interestingly enough, they are. Yeah,
You're adapting
I
to
just said so because obviously they're about adaptation. But the social instinct or the adaptation instinct or the adaptive, it's about adapting to another. And so what happened when the self-preservation instinct had its thing going, the sexual instinct came in, and almost exclusively in the animal world, the sexual instinct just shows up a couple of months a year or, regularly in any case, and they multiply and then they go back to feeding and resting and being safe. So humans are funny that way because we're sort of mixing it up much more. We're in constant heat, as it were, if we're doing the sexual thing. So it's much more overlapping. But for most animals, they have a clear season. Now we're mating and
They do,
fighting and
they do,
showing
don't
off,
they?
and doing this stuff. And now we're not. And then it's just everybody's friends again. So it's not the same necessarily. But they were, swapping. They were going long periods of self-preservation, interspersed with short periods, usually of sexual reproduction, and then going on like that. But then, as species developed, at some point, the organisms started becoming too complicated in their design for the mother to carry it, for a mammal to carry them to term, or for them to be carried to term in an egg, so to speak, because they couldn't fit. And if a human being would be staying in the uterus until it was viable to survive on its own, you don't want to be a mother anytime soon because that would mean like a 15-year pregnancy. So, or, eight or whatever, but a human baby left to its own devices will die quite
Wouldn't
soon.
survive.
So nature, again, if your only focus, we saw that for the self-preservation, it's me inwardly. For the sexual, it's still me. It's just an outward focus, an
An
expansive,
outward focus.
but it's still me. So we needed an instinct. We needed to see to it that the mother didn't just leave and go
Leave
leave
the baby,
the baby alone. So she stayed around, cared for the baby until the baby was viable to survive on its own. And this is not, if you're a mother, I'm not, and you're not, but we know mothers, and we've seen mothers, and we have mothers, and we realize that being a mother will take a toll on your self-preservation instinct,
Oh
because
yeah, I know. Even when I was like,
self-preservation right then.
bringing up a child that wasn't my birth child for a period of years, that it's
Yeah,
like
you're
I
carrying.
love her to bits. I adore Harriet, but I was exhausted. It was just like,
Yeah,
and
because.
everything you have to think about, but it was needed.
And you
It was
need to prioritize this little life that's dependent on you, which means this the self-preservation instinct would not do the job. The sexual
No,
instinct would not do
the
the
same
job,
as it, but the
obviously.
social does. I mean,
So
I
there
do it
may
with pets a lot,
be,
sort of. Their needs at this, but so it's like about the sort of caretaking, and what else is
it's
it
actually
about?
the very basis of it is the awareness of you being a different me, you being another person, the awareness of other, not as a function in my world, but as a function in their own world, as
So this is where the
being.
other comes online. You're saying that a lot of people mistake the sexual instinct as other, the
Yeah,
other, but it's
because
actually
we
more
like
to do
to
with
we like
the
to do that.
social.
We like to keep. Some of us like to keep our sexual activities in, specific relationships. So it looks like it's a lifelong partnership kind of thing, but it's not. The lifelong partnership kind of thing comes here. And it's Some humans do it, lots of humans do it, some animals do it, they mate for life.
Right.
Surprisingly, many animals actually, more animals than we knew just in the last few years or decades, we've come to learn that we didn't distinguish between crows or whatever before. So we didn't know that they were monogamous, but they turned out to be. I think it's crows, I'm not sure, but it's like, and they're not only the mammals, they're birds. And so this
That's
is
true, yeah.
not, this is not extremely like new or anything, but this caring for continuity and context. And the smallest of these contexts would be me and my baby. But then
Right.
it's me and the family unit, and
The
it's me
family, yeah.
and the group and the bigger family
Community,
and
and yeah.
nation, the world, whatever. But it's like, and this is where people start talking about group, consciousness versus one-on-one consciousness. But this is not
One-on-one.
right because it starts much sooner than that. The social
It's not,
internet,
yeah.
just big groups and corporations and networking and that kind of, that's in there too, but it's not only
But it
about.
doesn't start with that. Yeah, so that's all. I mean, I think you've got an absolutely brilliant overview, and I don't want to give too much away about the depth of it all because I want you to come back for a longer episode where people can listen to this if they need a sort of introduction and then go into this depth episode, depth, I can't say episode, with you. But no, I absolutely love the way you've phrased it all. I mean, I'm quite excited, but so can you tell me, because we are running out of time, can you tell me, if I could talk to you forever for this, so you know, I mean, I could talk to you for like hours and hours. I've got so many questions. As many years I've studied this, I've still got so many questions, and I'd love to hear your knowledge on this and your experience with it. But can you tell people where, if they want to buy your book and start working with this and learning more, where they can get it? I will put a link as well into the little thing. But
This
when can they buy a book, and where can they find you if they wanted to like book a session or do an instinct test or something? Where can they find you?
they can find me at lukofbachmann.com, sorry, .se, which is my last name, no dots over the A, and .se.
And I will put those things in the link.
I said that's do that, that's best. And if you look for exploring the Enneagram as a with quote marks, you'll find that because that's the name, the official name of the site. The book will be on Amazon or on,
It's on Amazon.
any physical or online
Yeah,
bookstore.
and that's called Aspects of You, isn't it?
Aspects of
Spelled
you.
exactly how it sounds, Aspects of You.
I think if you just search Aspects of You on Amazon, I'm not quite sure that you'll get me, but if you put my
Well,
name,
I'll put a link as
I
well.
can find you.
I'll put links in. And it's an excellent book. So I did proofread it for you, didn't I? And reviewed it. And I can, you know me, I won't advertise anything that I don't think is good, for my own clients or for others. So it is really worth not getting, it's really, I'm working deeply with, not just reading it, working with it. I think that's the important thing. So, yeah. So, have you got anything else to say before we close and I get this published before my next thing I've got to do? Anything else you'd like to just wrap up with or say to everyone? Or
I want to say that not the going through that we've been very chattily doing now is like it's been to describe what they are and how, where they come
yeah.
from, what instincts are as a thing, but to understand more of them, even as these three separate drives, and how they play out in humans, there could even be another session and then the zone session. It doesn't really matter,
Yeah,
but it's
I
like
know. We'll do as many as we need, CC.
so
Yeah.
it's not easy to just out of this. It's obviously not easy to say, oh, this is how I prioritize these or stack these or whatever, but it's like to realize also we have all of it. We
All of
do
it,
all of it.
exactly. Yeah.
Nobody is like going to starve to death on account of having a low preservation instinct.
Exactly, exactly.
You
Yeah.
don't do that because at some point, that's why they're automatic. They're going to kick in. And if you walk around on, if you're out and about and you see someone coming and they're crying, you're going to respond to that. Maybe you won't say
Exactly,
anything because
yeah.
you.
Yeah, project was this. So, Cece, have you got anything else you would like to say to the listeners about the instinct or anything we've been talking about today?
Yeah, I think there's two things. The first thing is that now we've obviously been talking about the drives from the evolutionary perspective and trying to sort of paint a bit of a color picture here. But for more insight in how these actually show up and what makes it instinctual rather than a matter of tastes or feelings or whatever, it's going to take some deeper explanation, obviously, and probably we'll get into that in the upcoming session you were talking about. And the other thing is that even if we're looking from a therapeutic or in a growth perspective to ascertain what my sort of not priorities but my innate preferences look like, which are
Right.
usually synonymous with my priorities, but not always, because maybe I got sick and I had to prioritize self-pres, even though I'm not actually, you know, so we have that. But even though we're looking at that from this perspective of growth, then we're looking at the tiny tip of the iceberg where things are lopsided and things that don't, they're
Right.
not, you know, evenly distributed. And we sort of, again, we drive off into the ditch with something and we totally forget about something else. This is the little bit, but it's also the bit that we can do something about and work with. Underneath that, under the surface, we have all of it. We have all this intact. We're not, you know, we're not sort of failures of evolution. We have all this evolutionary technology installed. We come with it to this earth. So we do everything that we need to do. We don't starve to death on account of forgetting to eat because we're low self-pres. And if we're shut out from a community that is important to us, we're going to feel it. Even if we're social last, we're going to feel pain.
Oh,
We don't
yeah.
belong anymore. So this even if we're high or low in from a therapeutic perspective, we're still going to be, you know, everything is going to be there and
Yeah.
fully functional. Because if it's not there or not fully functional, then we're probably in an institution somewhere. Because
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
that
Yeah. I'm
time.
having to have some different sort of work going
Exactly.
on. So,
It's good to
one
remember.
last sort of final bit to that is if you are dominant in an instinct, we've got all these things going on, but our dominant instinct will do what? Until you said everyone would feel shut out if they didn't belong. They might feel that rejection or whatever, but if someone was dominant in an instinct, how would that differ? We won't go deeply into it because I know we'll do that in the next episode, but how would it differ if we've got all of these things in us? Because some people will be wanting to find the order of their instinct stack, won't they? But if we have these things in us,
I
what
think
difference does it make with our dominance? And you touched on that before, but you always said, like, where we get into the most trouble or whatever, or focus more on.
if we look at it, if we want to sort of have a instant evaluation of what our stack looks like, I think one good way to look at it, it's not the easiest way to look at it, but one good way to look at it is what calls for my attention when nothing much is happening. Because if we
Right.
meet somebody, we meet a friend and they're crying, we're going to be asking. That's social. If we're really hungry, we're going to eat. That's
It, yeah.
self-preservation, etc. So if we know we're interested in something and we're drawn to something, then we go do that. That's sexual. But that's because something out of ourselves, something outside of ourselves is calling for our attention. So we respond with the appropriate instinct. That's just natural.
To survive,
What
yeah.
happens? What happens when it's your, you know, your free time? Your own choice.
If it's
Nothing much is happening outside, so you create it. Where do you go? Do you go to planning your diet, or you know, redoing your apartment, or doing looking at your finances and investing in the stock market for fun? Is that your thing? If it is, you're probably quite strong in self-preservation. And if your response to that is okay, well, I hire someone for that. I'm just not interested. Then probably not so high. And on the other hand, if your mind goes to, ooh, cool, I want to do this, or how can I, what I want, you know, you're drawn to stuff. If this sexual instinct going on, what interests me? Where can I go and get totally involved and just, you know, engage with all my, you know, senses or whatever, all of me, put myself into something. That's more of the sexual instinct. And then we have the, if I'm more geared towards looking at how are my relationships doing, where am I in this context, how are we, you know, I need to talk to this person. Been a long time now, and so on. Like keeping your connections going, caring about how people feel, immediately noticing how people feel, that kind of thing. Then we're more in the social technique. This is a very brief overview, but you get the point.
Yeah, oh, this is great. Yeah.
And especially if I notice one of these, even when it's not specifically called for, it's not that nothing much is going on. In fact, something else is going on, but I'd rather still do this
Still, there's still that
than
pull. Yeah.
then when you
Yeah.
can see that the outer situation sort of calls for this instinct to be online. But I prefer to keep doing
I'd
this because,
really rather be.
yeah, there's that.
Be doing this. Yeah, we have to do the food shopping, but like, I'll be
Yeah.
wandering around the supermarket thinking about, I might be thinking about my wardrobe design or the rats or this
Yeah,
project I'm
exactly.
on, or you know, it's like you say, I like the way you put it, like when nothing else is happening. So like when we're chilled or when we're bored or whatever,
Yeah.
and where does it go? But also, what are we pulled to when something else is having to be done in another zone? Like we do need to food shop unless someone does it for us. Then, but still,
Yeah,
then it's like,
exactly.
how quick can I get around the supermarket? Might enjoy it. I enjoy food shopping a little bit. It's quite, you know, but it's
I think a
right.
very
How
good
quick I get
question
this, then I can get home and then I can get on with this that
is,
I'm, you know, it's.
a very good question is looking at whatever activity, to what extent would I be happy to just snap my fingers and it's done?
Oh yes.
If the answer is yes, please, then it's not
Yes.
my priority. And just because you don't like shopping doesn't mean you're not self-pressed. You can be a financial whiz. And so there is levels to this, and again,
There's
all
levels to
zones,
it, isn't it?
and we'll
Yeah.
talk
So
about
snap your
it.
fingers and your accounts are done. That would be my thing. Snap my
Yeah.
fingers, the decorating's done. You know, so it's like I'm very diligent with things like the washing up, but I think that's more my personality style. I get, you
Yeah.
know, I timetable things and I like to schedule things that goes through my,
And
won't go into the Enneagram now,
having said all
but
this,
it's almost if I could go like this, or I had limitless money where I could hire someone to do every single thing but not bother me while I'm doing my
yeah,
project,
what would I be
that
doing
it would
instead?
be like, how's Mary Poppins? Mary Poppins, ooh, too much does
And
that. I'm very tidy, as you know, but if I could like, ooh, please, like it, accounts, especially accounts. That wouldn't that be great?
yeah, and just one thing to keep in mind, and this is where like sessions and exploration comes in, is that one instinct can show up dressed up as another sometimes. So
Yeah,
we
I've
can,
seen
I
that.
used to see, oh, I've got so much in self-preservation. I like to think about my diet and my, exercise and stuff. And I realized if it didn't serve what I could then see was actually my sexual instinct, I wouldn't give a toss. I would not be that interested. It wasn't health that was luring me into it. It
Yeah,
was
and none of
something
us want
else.
to die of a disease, do we? But like, it's
So
I know what you mean. Yeah.
sometimes one shows up as another. And people say,
Yeah,
what?
yeah.
Are you low social? You're so social. You have these courses. You talk about this. And I'm like, yeah, but I do it because I like it, because I enjoy the subject, and because I'm full of it. I'm not full of it,
You're
but I'm full
passionate about the
of
subject.
passions about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have the same with like exercise and, as you know, I'm a nutritionist as well, and part of what I do say I'm interested, but it's like the exercise for me originally in my 20s was to, it links with my type, be the best dancer,
Yeah.
but
So
also
again, this
have
is just to,
keep that figure. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Now I'm older, I'm 50 now, so there is, and with the breast cancer, there is more of the health. And of course, I've always wanted to be healthy because I want to be able to do what I want to do. But it's like if I'm really honest, CC, oh yeah, we have the time ago. It's like definitely the sexual instinct comes in line with
Yeah.
exercise for me. But yeah, but we'll get into these disguises. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, the uni could be waiting for me.
This is
Yeah.
just this is
I
to
always sound
say,
good on
like,
the time zone, but when I get passionate about something, I lose the time.
yeah, so
Even though I schedule everything to the hour.
it's just to
But
say
yeah, but
that there is multiple, levels to this, and we need to
it's
be
so
looking at it
interesting,
from.
isn't it? And I understand why you've made this one of your focuses because it is just so vital and interesting. But you're gonna come back, so we're gonna say bye for now, and I'll pop onto my next thing. But thank you so much. for being
Thank you
here
for
today.
having
I
me.
absolutely love how you phrased everything. It's just I'm just over the moon with it. And yeah, and I will speak to you really soon, and I'll close for now, but thank you again. So checking out from Wear the Dress or whatever you like. I'm Leah today talking to Stacey, and I'll be back soon with the next episode. So take good care, God bless, and bye for now. Bye.